Johnny's Country fan.
News. I'm Dave Packer. In a new report on the war in Gaza, the U.S. State Department raising the prospect that Israel may have violated humanitarian law protecting civilians, but that same report not drawing any major conclusions. Critics calling the report self-contradictory. Josh Paul, former director in the State Department's Bureau of Political Military Affairs.
There's no indication that the U.S. government tried to interview people in Egypt or elsewhere in the regions, refugees from Gaza. So there was a lot more fact-finding that probably could have taken place here.
Fighting around Ukraine's second largest city is intensifying after a major Russian offensive. The death toll rising to at least 126 after heavy rains in the southern part of Brazil. Police overnight breaking up a demonstration outside of the president's residence at the University of Pennsylvania, and a shelter in place at Portland State University came to an end. All of this after pro-Palestinian encampments were cleared from at least three college campuses on Friday. This is ABC News. An Illinois man is in jail, charged with trying to kill his neighbor because he hated that she had a black partner and black children. John Shadbar, 70 years old, charged with eight felony counts, including attempted murder and a hate crime. That neighbor, 45-year-old Melissa Robertson, remaining in the hospital in critical condition, wounds to her chest and hand. ABC's Rob Elgis.
The Will County Sheriff's Office saying they responded to a total of three calls to the victim's home this year related to Shadbar. Two of them were in March. The first for Shadbar allegedly yelling at Robertson and her children, and the second for fireworks and possibly a gun being shot over the victim's fence. Neither call led to an arrest. The third time they responded, Melissa Robertson had been shot. Now John Shadbar being held without bond, facing eight felonies and a growing investigation.
Target announcing it'll scale back its Pride Month merchandise after boycotts and backlash last year. The chain said it'll sell its LGBTQ plus theme merchandise online and only in select stores. Dave Packer, ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Birth doulas help new mothers with the stress and anxiety of childbirth. But there's another type of doula, people who support people who are dying. Terry D. has more.
Death doulas or end-of-life specialists give spiritual and emotional support to people nearing death in a non-medical setting. Kim Burgess is an end-of-life doula and certified adult geriatric nurse practitioner. She says fulfilling a dying person's wish to be in their desired setting is important.
People wanted to stay in their home, their comfort of their home, their own surrounding, their own food, their own loved ones. So I loved being able to support people in that role.
Training to become an end-of-life doula happens in workshops with required reading and work-study assignments. Since it is not a federally recognized field, insurance companies do not cover these services. Death, or what is sometimes called the other side, can produce feelings of fear or a sense of denial, especially if a terminal condition has been diagnosed. Burgess says it is a 24-hour job for loved ones helping someone in these final days or weeks, and she's encountered families who are unprepared for the caregiver needs.
And a lot of times their family is saying, we're just overwhelmed and we have hospice involved, but we still feel like we need some more support. An end-of-life doula can be there given the family reassurance or making some slight suggestions.
Doulas can also help plan an advance directive, instructions a person can leave behind about their funeral service or cremation, what to do with a pet, or help writing a loving message to family and friends. This is Terry D. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Here's another community reminder from Civic Media.
Every Wednesday, American Legion Post 182 is hosting their 52-car Progressive 50-50 raffle, where you can get 6 tickets for $5. Doors open at 6:30 with a drawing at 7:30. And the American Legion will donate part of their proceeds to local organizations. Again, that's every Wednesday with the doors opening at 6:30 and the drawing at 7:30.
Leaning into local radio, 98Q Country. Gets the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Milwaukee with an 11-2 win over St. Louis Friday night. Willie Adames with three doubles, scoring two runs and a pair of RBI. Brewers lefty Robert Gasser, making his major league debut, pitched six scoreless innings, only the fifth Brewer to do so in his career debut, including Jim Slate in 1974 and Brandon Woodruff in 2017. The 24-year-old Gasser came to Milwaukee in the Josh Hader trade and was more than ready to finally get a shot at the majors. Pat Murphy:
I think Gas came with a little chip on his shoulder, like I should have been here last year. In my mind, they made me wait, and maybe that's something that we can think about sometimes. Maybe we need to make some guys wait. It's great to see they get here, they pay their dues, they get here, and they got a little edge to them when they get here.
NBA former Bucks head coach Mike Budenholzer is the new head coach of the Phoenix Suns, replacing Frank Vogel, fired after just 1 year in Arizona. Coach Bud to sign a 5-year deal worth $50 million. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
I'm Corey Hartman with your forecast for today. Mostly sunny, a high near 65. Northwest winds at 10 to 15. Showers and thunderstorms tonight with a low around 45. Showers and storms on your Sunday with highs in the mid-70s, and it will be a little bit breezy. For Monday, sunny and breezy and a high near 65. Right now, 40 degrees.
I fish, I hunt, and always will. Broadcasting from the Alclair Outdoor Studios.
Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're not just a radio show anymore.
This is Sporting Journal Radio.
That's right, I'm Brett Amundson. What is MinFish up to? We'll talk about what we learned at the summit this past week. We'll also have Tom Wynn on the show this week. We got a great conversation with Tom. We're going to play that for you coming up later in the show. Tyler Brick joins us to talk about what Boat Setter is. And Joe Henry has an opener report from Lake of the Woods. That's Dan over there. Dan, how you doing?
Hey, doing well.
Who are the sponsors this week on the show?
This week, Invergrove Toyota. Looking for your new pickup truck, go to Invergrove Toyota in Invergrove Heights. Lake of the Woods Tourism. Lake of the Woods is the walleye capital of the world. Book a trip for this summer at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. OnX Hunt, landowner information, public land access, and much, much more. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt. Tazen Lake Lodge, catch a world record lake trout and giant pike at Saskatchewan's Tazen Lake. Learn more at tazenlake.com. Prairie Sportsman, the new season has wrapped up. However, episodes are still airing across the region. Check your TV guide for local listings or watch any episode on YouTube. And Haybale Heights Campground and Resort, fish Devils Lake this summer. Learn more at haybaleheights.com.
Governor Walz said something at the MinFish Summit that the economic impact of fishing in Minnesota is bigger than the Mayo Clinic, said something to that effect in any sense. It is absolutely huge for us here in the land of 10,000 lakes. You and I know that. Dan, you know that. We need to convince everybody else that. We need to let the people that don't fish understand how important fishing is, whether it's giving people a chance to relax outdoors in nature, whether it's providing clean water, whether it's keeping small towns that rely on the tourism from anglers traveling to fish their lakes. Some of those businesses would be long gone if you didn't have people coming to fish those lakes. It's an absolute juggernaut when it comes to an economic impact in Minnesota, and Governor Walz mentioned that at the summit yesterday. That was a on Tuesday was the summit at the Drury Hotel in St. Paul. It was a pretty interesting event, wasn't it, Dan?
Yeah, good stuff. It's always, I said to some people, it's always nice to be in a room with that group of people. There's a lot of smart anglers and a lot of passionate anglers. And it's always a great chance to mingle and meet and discuss the hot topics of Minnesota fishing.
Executive Director Mark Holston kind of emceed the event, did a great job. Ron Scher, of course, opened things up. He's the president. And then Brad Parsons probably spoke the longest and probably had the biggest topic of the day. And this was a 7-hour day. And I bet we've talked about Mille Lacs pretty, probably about 5 hours of that, Dan.
Yeah, it, you know, you try to get away from it, not get away from it, but there's a lot of things that people wanted to hit, and then it was, well, let's go back to Mille Lacs here.
So some of the things he kind of talked about, it was pretty interesting because some of the, I don't know if you want to use the word controversy, but some of the things that were brought up about Mille Lacs was that the DNR said they were, the walleyes there were skinny, and Brad said nobody should ever have used the word skinny. They want to say that the fish are hungry. And what that indicates is a low forage base, like they had a drop in forage. And then they've also seen a drop in, I think it was a 10% drop in adult walleye population from last year. They said it's looking good, though. They said part of the reason that it's a drop in, they've been trending down is because 2017 was the last strong year class that they had on Mille Lacs, although they did say that 22 and 23 year classes are looking pretty good right now. One thing, Dan, I was trying to learn more about is how they estimate those walleye populations on the lake.
Yeah, we didn't really get a whole lot of details on that, and that definitely could just be that it's a very, you know, it's science. There weren't a whole lot of, besides folks working for the DNR, like, I don't have a background in science research. A lot of people don't. So trying to explain it in a way that would make sense to everybody might not have been a great use of our time or really even feasible, as unfortunate as that is, because we'd like to know, but it might just be something that would have been a lot of mumbo jumbo thrown at us that we wouldn't have understood and just confused us. But yeah, we didn't really get a whole lot of info on that. And it would be interesting to know, because it just doesn't feel like the things you hear anglers saying are adding up with what the data the DNR has is saying. And I don't know why that is. Maybe that's just a misconception, but I don't know.
Brad Parsons said somebody told him that being a fish manager is like managing a forest with invisible trees that move. And I can see that. It's not easy. And going to a catch and release this season, he said, normally we make about 80% of the people mad. And this year we outkicked our coverage. And he thinks they made everybody mad. And he went on to explain it. You know, that's a tough gig. And there's three ways that they measure those walleyes. They do their gill nets. They have a population estimate where they catch fish, mark them, and then go back and catch them again later in the year and then count them. And then there's some other mathematical equations. And he said that they've had biologists and researchers all across the country look at their methods. And he said he says he thinks the data is solid. But it just seems like there's just something not connecting there. But he did explain something that really goes to show just how hard managing that fishery is not everybody uses it the same. It's almost like managing deer in Minnesota, Dan, you know, because people hunt in the southeast differently than they do in the northeast. Mm-hmm. And bow hunters hunt differently than gun hunters, rifle hunters. And then you got muzzleloaders and slug shotguns and things like that. And it's hard to manage it for everybody, because they could have gone to a catch, a one fish harvest in the spring, in May, but then based on their catch rates and using past data on what population trends look like and apply that to this year, if they would have allowed one fish harvest, they most likely would have had to close down the fishing season midsummer, maybe even earlier, because he thinks this is the, I mean, there was some negative discussion about all this, and some people, you know, asked him some hard questions, and there was some disagreement, but the one thing he did say, and none of us should be surprised at this, is that fishing on Mille Lacs this year is going to be really good.
That's his hope. That's what he has been led to believe. That's what his data is leading him to believe. So, yeah, so they made the decision to delay that opportunity to harvest fish till August, I believe it is, instead of opening up right away in May. Because, yeah, so now anglers are going to have the chance to fish in May, in June, July, August, September, October, November, all the fall fishing. If it would have been opened up right away starting Saturday, May 11th, he thinks that quota, that allocation, that quota that is agreed upon with the state and the tribe, that quota would have been hit, walleye fishing would have been closed for the rest of the year, closed, over, no catch and release, no walleye fishing period, live bait bans. So once that allocation is hit, it's over. So they made the decision to have fishing opportunities for the whole open water season. In my eyes, that makes sense. It makes sense to keep as a compromise for anglers, so they now at least have a fishing opportunity and a bonus for the area resorts and businesses, because that means there's still going to be walleye fishermen going there. There's always people that say, I can't keep a fish there, I'm not going. Well, guess what? There's still a bunch of people that are going fishing there. Maybe not as many as it used to be, but people are still going there because they enjoy to catch walleyes. Yeah. So that's still happening. So I think that was a smart move from an economic decision and a fisheries decision.
They surveyed anglers and found out a couple of things. One, angling opportunity was the most important. Two, a harvest opportunity was secondary. So to have the world-class fishery like that within 2 hours of the Twin Cities, to give all those anglers in the metro area an opportunity to go up and fish for walleyes. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't mind catch and release. And obviously we go up to the Rainy River where it's catch and release only and love it. So if you can go out there and smash walleyes, it's going to be a lot of fun. The argument I've always had is if the fishery is that healthy, why aren't you able to keep a fish? And if you want to, we all like eating walleye, so having the opportunity to catch one and keep one would be nice. But that points to maybe a broader issue that maybe our allotment should be a little bit higher. And Brad was asked about this during the MinFish Summit, and he's like, well, some years we've argued to have that allotment higher, and we've disagreed. But it becomes a negotiation, and you start dealing with legalities and treaties and things like that, and percentages of what can be kept and where things land. So we have to stay within that allotment. And again, you could argue that the allotment should be higher, but that's above my pay grade. We have to work within the numbers that we are allowed right now. And being able to catch and release all season was a compromise because some guys only go up there for a week in July. That's their annual family fishing trip. That's the only time they get to go. Those people said, hey, we still want to be able to come up and fish Mille Lacs, even if we can't keep one. A lot of guys only go to Mille Lacs in the fall. Fishing is unbelievable in the fall there. They wanted to have that opportunity. So this is the compromise we have, and this is where we're at. And I think, Dan, I mean, we talked about Mille Lacs quite a bit at MinFish yesterday, or on Tuesday. I think we could have talked about it all day.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
There were a couple other things real quick before we take a break here. Commissioner Stroman was there. She discussed how money is spent, how rules are made. There's two ways to make rules: rulemaking with biologists determining things, and then a legislative decision where biologists aren't always consulted. That's two main ways things happen, which is why it's so important to educate our legislators on the outdoors here in Minnesota and what's important, and to try to get the biologists to be involved as much as possible. That's how crossbows became legal during the entire archery season. DNR was not involved in that. MinFish hired a lobbyist, which I think is about the greatest thing that they could have done. So now everyone in the legislature gets an earful from MinFish, from our lobbying firm, and they find out about all the important topics relating to anglers. So as an angler, if you've got an important topic, bring it up to your legislator, bring it up to MinFish, and they can help be a loud voice, that squeaky wheel. Assistant Commissioner Bob Meyer was there. He talked about the new license app. So Minnesota will finally be going to a licensing app on your phone. We should see that next year, it sounds like. So there's a couple other things I want to talk about. We're just running out of time. Real quick, before we break, Dan, let's do a video to watch. Go check out Billy Moles' channel. If you haven't watched Billy Moles, he's great. He guides up in Alaska, some amazing, amazing scenery. They're up there caribou hunting, grizzly bear hunting, and they crashed a plane in this new video. It's called We Saw Jesus. Find it on YouTube. All right, we're going to take a break. We got Tom Wynn coming up. We've also got Tyler Brick and Joe Henry. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, how do you like driving your Tundra?
I love driving this thing, man. I actually stopped into Invergrove Toyota the other day when I was driving through the Twin Cities, and they got a brand new Toyota Tundra on the floor. This thing is unbelievable. This thing is so, so nice. And it's very similar to mine. It's actually a little nicer than mine. And my truck, I let my dad drive it. My dad took it for a drive. I didn't let him. He just did it. And he came back. He's like, man, you just kind of own the road when you drive that thing. It's so smooth and so comfortable to drive. And if you need to pass, like I had to pass a truck coming home today, it gets up there and gets you into that passing speed before you know it. Like, it'll move. It's got 11,000 pounds of towing. This one on the floor, at Toyota. It's got a sunroof. It's got a tonneau cover, which I don't have in mine. It's got a factory lift kit. It is decked out for you if you want to take it hunting, fishing, tow your boat with it. It is set up, ready to go. The screen in it is giant, so you got a huge navigation screen. And if you want to listen to, you know, use CarPlay or listen to satellite radio.
Listen to Sporting Journal Radio. Yeah,
absolutely. Heated seats, cooled seats, which are my favorite. They're called ventilated seats. I absolutely love it. I use it all the time. Go check it out. Ember Grove Toyota. In fact, we got some deals for you. If you use the code FHF, we got a link to it. And if you go buy a truck at Ember Grove Toyota, it helps us out if you use our link to buy it. So go to sportingjournalradio.com. Click on the Toyota Tundra on the right side. You'll see it right there. And look for the Fish Hunt Forever deal. Fill out the form there on their website. And you'll be driving in a brand new Toyota Tundra in no time.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
Hi, this is Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in on the network by demand, sportingjournalradio.com, or watching this on YouTube along with Dan Amundson over there. And Tyler Brick is our guest right now from Boat Setter. Tyler, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for coming on. You know, we've been hearing about Boat Setter. It's something fairly new. It seems like it's kind of a trend, following the same kind of trend you're seeing in a lot of areas where people are essentially renting out things they own, right? That's kind of the model behind Boat Setter.
Yeah, certainly. Obviously, all of us have heard about Airbnb. It's basically the same thing. It's Airbnb for boats. It's a peer-to-peer boat rental marketplace, and we just try to connect boat owners with individuals looking to rent boats for recreational purposes. Yeah, just similar to that Airbnb kind of marketplace, just trying to get people out on the water. And
I mean, it's kind of a brilliant idea here in Minnesota. It's you're based up in Bemidji, right? But it's not a, yeah. This is a nationwide deal, Boat Setter?
Yeah, we started, since its inception 2014, we started down in Fort Lauderdale. Obviously, Florida and that market blew up, and then it has just caught on nationwide. We're starting to trickle in a few other countries around the world, but it's catching on pretty fast. Since COVID, things kind of like blew up in the outdoor industry, and obviously boats and cars and everything has gotten so expensive. So we're just here to make it affordable so everyone can obviously get out on the water and experience all those things we love to do.
Well, I got a 16-foot 1999 Lund painted in camouflage behind the house here. There's a 25-horse Suzuki on it too. What do you think? I can get about $1,000 a day.
probably $350-$400 a day, but it's whatever you want.
Okay, yeah. How does that work? If someone's got a boat and maybe they bought a new boat and they're working a lot, they don't have a lot of time to go out and go fish. How does that work?
For sure. So one thing is kind of nice. Well, like when I bought it, it just kind of helps with the payments. I mean, a lot of people have boats or bought boats in the COVID times and it's sitting around. They don't use it. So what better way to make a little money off of underutilized asset? So we have a website. We also have two apps. We have an owner app. So if you'd like to list a boat, you can just download the Boat Setter owner app, and it's super easy. You put in your boat, your make and model, you upload a listing description, just kind of like the amenities, what kind of trips are offered, and a couple pictures of it on the water, maybe a fishing rod, big fish caught, and just set a price. And we teamed up with Geico and Boat US. We're the only marketplace that offers a peer-to-peer boat rental policies. So from the start of your rental to the end, we have policies that cover the entire thing, which is very unique. So if you don't obviously trust someone that you've never met in your boat,
which is everybody,
which is definitely a point that everyone brings up. I bought my first boat last year, and I was like, well, I don't know. I have electronics. I mean, everything. It's my baby, but it just gives you a little bit more confidence, and obviously renters are vetted too, so it's a pretty sweet deal.
Yeah, Dan and I fish together all the time in his boat. He won't let me drive his boat.
I don't trust people that I do trust in my boat, like, at all. I don't care how well I know you. You're not driving my boat.
So that insurance policy is brilliant. Now, is this, I mean, I was obviously joking about my 16 footer, but I mean, you're talking about all sorts of boats, from, you know, little fishing boats to big bass boats or cabin cruisers, anything?
Anything. I mean, like, I have my kayak on there, and people have their bougie yachts, like anything in between. Pontoons are obviously very, very popular just because fit a bunch of people. Everyone's got a pontoon, especially up here. But yeah, anything. Fishing boats, bass boats, little skiffs, center consoles on the ocean, the whole nine. It's pretty sweet.
Interesting. So how long has that been here in Minnesota? How long you been doing it?
So I hopped on last March, and it's with the goal of obviously trying to expand it in the Midwest. We've had some owners since, I mean, the fishing vertical started in 2021, and we brought on a couple boats then, but the last couple years, again, since COVID, it is just blown up and is catching on in Midwest. I mean, if you look at boat registrations like Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, all of these states, they're so high, they're top states in the country, so everyone's got a boat, and we love our time on the water. So in Minnesota and just the Midwest and across the country, it's catching on very, very fast.
So is it by the hour? Is it by the day? Is it both? Is it kind of whatever you decide to do?
That's what's also cool about it. It's whatever the owner decides. So you can do hourly, daily. We do multi-day rentals. I have mine personally set up. I have like 4-hour, 8-hour trips. So obviously you're half and full day for guides. And then I also have a multi-day where I'll discount, which is kind of nice. Gives them renter obviously a little bit of a break, and then incentivize them to obviously book longer. But anywhere from 2 hours to as many days as you'd like. And the insurance covers from the moment it starts to obviously when it's done.
So I'm just looking at the website here, boatsetter.com, and it throws some numbers out at you that you could make, you know, $20,000 by renting out your boat, things like that. And it's kind of, I think this is interesting too. I'm looking at the top locations. I see Miami, Miami Beach, Fort Lauderdale, Tampa, Seattle, Chicago. Are there a lot of people? I suppose on Lake Michigan, maybe, I guess. New York City, Washington, D.C., San Francisco. So obviously this is happening all over the place. And that makes me, you know, Dan, we got to see it firsthand when we went to ICAST a couple of years ago. You know, I've heard people talk about Florida being a big fishing destination. And of course, you got the ocean there. It's like, come on, Minnesota's the fishing state, man. 10,000 exactly. Lakes, come on. And then we went to Florida. We're like, oh, okay. Yeah. There's some
pretty good. It's a whole different game. I mean, you have the saltwater guys. That like you look at musky guys in Minnesota. It's like, you guys are obviously doing something special. And then you see all these boats and people hopping on salt. And it's just like,
yeah. I don't know. I mean, we've taken different trips where we wished we could rent a boat, and sometimes the rental rates are, you know, more than we want to spend, or there just aren't boats to rent when you go somewhere, and it's, you know, it's not feasible to haul our own, or we're flying somewhere. You know, I could see that where we take a, you know, like we're going to Eufaula here in a couple of weeks, and we're flying down there. That'd be nice just to be like, no. And you do it all online, right? So this, you just book the boats on this website, right? So we could just go on boatsetter.com and be like, yeah, we want to, you know, 17 foot whatever, yep, steering wheel, windshield, blah blah blah.
Windshield's key.
4 hours. yeah. We've learned.
That's a touchy subject. I have a console boat that was made without a windshield for some reason, and it's a very touchy subject for all of us here.
Yeah, for sure. And that, so it's all, I mean, it's all done online. It's a pretty simple interface.
Yeah. So if you're going down to Eufaula, or say you're going to Okeechobee or somewhere, you just go on the app www.boatsetter.com, and you're able to just look up wherever you want. And it'll show a bunch of boats that are available on the day that you're trying to book. You inquire to book, it'll ask you a list of questions, how many people, what time, how long, and then you get to message the owner direct. So it's super cool. So they'll talk about different pickup instructions or things you need to bring, just a bunch of different questions, and then you're able to yeah, just have that conversation and set it up and meet him on whatever day you choose. It's all handled through the app or online.
And if anybody's interested in doing this, we're going to have a link in our description, Dan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go to, I had a graphic for this, where'd it go? But yeah, go to the description in our comments and stuff, and we'll share it on social media too. If people are interested in that, we'll get all the info to how to book a boat or how to rent the boat and all that fun stuff, right, Tyler?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you guys should be set with that. And obviously, if anyone has any questions, they could reach out to our CX team, or I can also give you guys my email too. But if you guys just want to reach out and have an inquiry for a place you want to go or a certain boat that you might want to list, just reach out and we can get you taken care of.
Very cool. Interesting concept, boat setter. Tyler Brick, thanks for telling us all about it today on the show. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys having me on.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand. The number one hunting GPS app just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX. Hey, this summer, plan a trip to Tazon Lake Lodge in Saskatchewan. It's a fly-in lodge to the northwest part of Saskatchewan. It's absolutely beautiful, and it's a chance at a world record-sized lake trout or a northern pike over 50 inches. Beautiful scenery, great food, great guides, great people running this place in one of my favorite places on the planet. Find out more information at TazonLake.com or check out Tazon TV on YouTube.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Get ready for May specials at D&D Tire and Auto in Park Falls, Wisconsin. They're not just about fixing cars and trucks. They're about building community. For every lube oil filter change this May, they'll donate $5 to the playground project at Old Abe Memorial Park. Plus, $39.99 on every brake and suspension service goes straight to the cause. New marine and power sport service is available now. With 24-hour towing and reliable summer-ready service, trust D&D Tire and Auto on Highway 13. Join them in driving change and supporting their community.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go. Shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go. But the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
When you try Grandpa's barbecue, will it be sweet? No. Fiery hot, fruity, or honey-flavored? We think not. Instead, Grandpa's barbecue is the true original flavor of barbecue. Without the hype, the additives, or the hoopla. Because this is a family recipe that's handed down by Grandpa himself. Grandpa's Barbecue. Available in select stores and online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
I'm Corey Hartman with your forecast for today. Mostly sunny, a high near 65. Northwest winds at 10 to 15. Showers and thunderstorms tonight with a low around 45. Showers and storms on your Sunday with highs in the mid-70s, and it will be a little bit breezy. For Monday, sunny and breezy and a high near 65. It's 39 at our studios.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
Well, the opener is this weekend, the traditional walleye opener here in Minnesota. We're all excited about it. We're going to talk about some tips for you this week if you're going to be out and about, and maybe you're heading up to Lake of the Woods, and we're going to get a fishing report from Lake of the Woods right now with Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism. Joe, how's it going?
Hey, Brett. Oh, man, it's a week of the opener. Pretty exciting.
It is very exciting. It was a big week for anglers across the state of Minnesota, at least for the majority of people this weekend. And then for a small group of us on Wednesday, we met up in We met up in St. Paul at the Drury Hotel for the annual Minfish Summit. And Joe, of course, you were there. You were also doing some stuff at the Capitol earlier that day, it looked like.
Yeah. Just coincidentally, we had a travel and tourism day, Hospitality Minnesota and the Minnesota Association of Convention and Visitor Bureaus combined to have Hospitality Day at the Capitol. They got kind of a basement room there that we hosted lunch and had legislators and different people from different organizations that are important to our tourism industry in Minnesota. You know, swing by, grab a quick lunch as they're very busy, and had a chance to say hello, thank them for their work, rub elbows, talk about any current topics that are in the legislature. And one of the hats we wear, that I wear, like the Woods Tourism, certainly is working with the legislature. And that ultimately helps determine our success or failure as an organization. And, you know, whether it's fishing related or tourism related, we want to make sure we maintain good relations, we can be influential, and basically create, good industry up at Lake of the Woods for what we do.
It's interesting dealing with legislators and politicians, because it's not always, it's not the glamorous part of this job, right? Like, we all love the outdoors. We want to be out there fishing or hunting or being out on the water, whatever the case may be. But when you look to preserving some of these opportunities, these outdoor opportunities that we have in Minnesota, it's a constant battle, and it's a constant, I don't want to use the word fight necessarily, but it's constant work. Making sure that whoever is making laws in the state of Minnesota, which changes all the time, you know, it seems like there's new people every couple of years, whatever. You constantly have to be in touch with those people to let them know what's going on and let them know what your constituents or your people that you're representing are, have some concerns that may match their constituents, or maybe the constituents are the same people. You have to make sure that they're aware of fishing and tourism and all the things that we care about. It's not the fun part of this job, but it's a necessary one, isn't it, Joe?
It's a very, very important part of the job. You know, when it's all said and done, you know, you have goals, right? And, you know, in order to achieve those goals, you have to deal with the politicians, the legislators. And, you know, but Lake of the Woods, we deal certainly with our state legislators. We appreciate all the support they give us. But because we're border community, you know, we're border with Canada, we also deal with our federal politicians. And it's important for us to maintain relations with, you know, not only our politicians, Brett, but a number of stakeholders, right? Not to get too much in the weeds, but DNR enforcement, DNR fisheries, U.S. Customs and Border Protection, Canada Border Services Agency, the Canadian Consulate, Coast Guard. You know, we have Coast Guard on our lake and river. There's a number of groups, certainly our county sheriffs, our county board. And I mean, we have a whole bunch of stakeholders that we have to pay attention to, because every one of those organizations can it help us or hurt us if it came down to it, if we ignored certain topics. So yeah, it's all part of it, and it's part of it. You know, yesterday I had a suit on, just like you said. I would much prefer having my fishing clothes on and be on the water and talking fishing. But you know what? When it's all said and done, it's about determining what's gonna help out our area, you know, Lake of the Woods area. And so once in a while, you gotta do those things. And hey, you were there. I mean, you're there for a good reason too.
How important is that organization becoming for us, particularly because now we have a lobbyist? And that's really how things get done when you start talking about politics, Joe.
100%. And, you know, I'll tell you, if you don't know of MinFish, if you fish Minnesota at all, MinFish is an organization that helps create quality sport fishing opportunities in Minnesota. What happened, it was led by Ron Sharon and a board of directors of the who's who in the fishing industry in Minnesota. And, you know, they hired an executive director, Mark Holston. Mark is a former DNR commissioner. He's also a former politician, representative. And so he had the great background. He understands the Capitol. He understands the DNR. And just a sharp guy. So, you know, between the two of us, and now this, you know, it's just nice that a lobbyist got involved at the same time that we had a budget surplus. You know, they were influential in basically getting about $100 million shifted to different outdoor activities that are very important. You know, the can was kicked down the road for decades when it comes to upgrading our fish hatcheries in Minnesota. And I'll tell you what happened was, you know, Governor Walz, like him or dislike him, this is politics, right? But Governor Walz came to one of the MinFish summits, and he heard how, you know, sports fishing in Minnesota is over a $6 billion industry. $6 billion. That's bigger than the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota. And when he heard that, he's like, whoa. And he started looking into it and realized that other governors had kicked the can down the road, never really invested in it. And, you know, he didn't even visit a hatchery. And the hatchery was falling apart. We had these brilliant minds, biologists, that were working in terrible conditions. You know, steps were falling apart. They were worried that the media was going to trip and fall. I mean, it was just terrible. So he saw the light, and thankfully, and very much appreciatively from Minnesota anglers, he put forward and pushed for money to go to this. Now, it was one-time allocation, but the allocation was huge. You know, so it's going to fish hatcheries, it's going to boat ramps, upgrading boat ramps, creating new boat ramps, shore fishing opportunities, just a myriad of things. The challenge is the DNR, it's a one-time allocation, and DNR, we have a lot more work to do. We need to get more money for the DNR to make sure that we have these quality fishing opportunities in Minnesota. So, and that's where the fight doesn't end. You know, we got to keep on. You know, the fishing is so important in Minnesota. And in Minnesota, the money is there, Brett. The money is there in that general fund. It's just a matter of how they're going to divvy it up. Yeah. And fishing has gotten missed. Now that with MenFish and MenFish having lobbyists, feet on the ground, the capital, hopefully we start getting more of that allocated towards our quality sport fishing in Minnesota. You think about it from a freshwater fishing perspective. We probably have arguably the top overall quality sport fishing in the whole United States. Now, certainly there's other areas that have different kind of streams and rivers, and they have salt water. But I mean, I tell you, from a lakes perspective, I think we have over 11,000 lakes. I think they said there's realistically 4,000 that have ramps.
I want to get on to fishing a little bit. I want to talk about the opener. And I mean, things overall are looking pretty good for this weekend, Joe.
Yeah, they sure are. Well, weather-wise, they're looking good. Mm-hmm. Our water levels came up because we got rain. That's kind of nice. You know, we would have done fine without them, but boy, it's just nice. It's going to be easier getting back in the bays and the harbors and off the docks and stuff. You know, the fish are there. I mean, we have sturgeon anglers right now catching 8, 9, and 10-pound walleyes on sturgeon rigs. They're getting them on a glob of night crawlers mixed with a couple of dead frozen shiners. You know, so we know the walleyes are in the river. We know walleyes are in the bay, 4 Mile Bay. We know walleyes are out in front of the south shore. Are they going to be in 10 feet of water? Are they going to be in 15 feet of water, 18 feet of water? I mean, you know, they're going to be out there somewhere, but you know, we left them alone in March, and they're still there eating a lot of shiners and different bait that's holding them. And it's going to be a really, really good opener. You know, in the northwest angle, I mean, shooting up there, gosh, is that ever fun early fishing? You know, there, that's where the 14,552 islands of Lake of the Woods begin. And you know, in order to go to the angle, I think a lot of listeners know this, but you have to travel. If you're going to drive, you have to travel through Canada about 40 miles, and then you get up to the northwest angle. One of the things, and Brett, I tipped you and Danny into this when you guys drove up to the angle, but you know, you got to go through a little town of Sprague, Manitoba when you drive up there. And there's this little grocery store called Carl and Kay's Fine Foods on the right-hand side as you're heading north. And you know, you stop there and you pick up a coffee crisp candy bar, English toffee, maybe an Aero bar. You pick up your favorite Canadian jam. They have a whole bunch of different kind of berries, you know, and in different brands. And then, of course, they got a Canadian rye bread. It's not really rye. It's more like a cracked wheat, but they make them in the famous Winnipeg bakeries around there. And then, of course, the chips. They got different flavors of chips, you know, like everything chips.
I'm a fan of the all-dressed chips now, Dan.
They suck.
I know we weren't a big fan. Last time we went up to Canada, we bought them there in Sprague, and we're like, nah, they're okay. And then we bought a couple other flavors. I don't remember what it was. And then
wasn't
Corey
lost roasted chicken or something.
Roasted
chicken, and then fries and gravy.
Corey crumpled them up and used them as seasoning for the buffalo heads that we ate when we shot ducks up there. And it worked out great, actually.
And of course, yeah. You get up to the angle, it's kind of cool. You cross back into the U.S. up at the northwest angle. You go up to Jim's Corner, and then, you know, most people will just go to the resort they're staying at and check in on an iPad with U.S. Customs. You've gone into a new country, you got to check into U.S. now, and no big deal. Order your favorite beverage and check in on the iPad, and then you're there. And then it's time to go fishing and enjoy the incredible fishing around there. You know, this weekend, there'll be fish probably fairly shallow, and, neck down areas where there's a little bit of moving water between islands and such, points, and just shoreline breaks, you know, just real simple. Most people will be jigging. If you want to cast or pull cranks, you can, and there's going to be a lot of fish to be had, I'll tell you that much.
There's a lot of people, even if they're fishing the South Shore, that will like to run up that way and swing into one of those Northwest Angler resorts for lunch. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll drive the boat up there, maybe fish up there for a couple hours, grab lunch, and then head back down south or wherever they're staying. And
well, Gary, it's a good point because you know if you go through Canada, you know, obviously you need credentials, you need a passport card, enhanced driver's license, or a driver's license with an original birth certificate. Now, if you're staying on Lake of the Woods, you can stay in Minnesota and boat up and never go into Ontario waters or Manitoba waters. So a lot of people will boat up.
All right, Joe. Well, we're going to let you go. But if people want to get a trip booked up there this summer start, you know, maybe even try to get up yet this weekend, what should they do to get more info?
You know what? Facebook's always a good Lake of the Woods Tourism on Facebook. Otherwise, check out our website, and that is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
If you want to catch a big walleye, go where the big walleyes are. Lake of the Woods is the walleye capital of the world, with a variety of resorts and lodging facilities offering full-service fishing. Lake of the Woods is also home to sturgeon, sauger, perch, trophy pike, muskie, smallmouth bass, burbot, and more. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods today. Go to lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
When the power goes out, your life is disrupted. Heat, air conditioning, refrigeration, phones, all gone. Be prepared for the next outage with a Generac Home Standby Generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac generator automatically restores your home's power, whether you're home or away. Power your life with a Generac Home Standby Generator.
You can contact Chris at 715-302-5144 or visit him at ChristopherElectricLLC.com.
The 2024 Inland Game Fish Opener is in the books. Nice weather, compared to most openers, greeted early morning anglers the first day, till the skies opened up by the late morning. Water temps of 46 degrees on the large deep lakes to 52 on the smaller lakes and flowages met morning anglers' urge to go to shallow from past experience or from listening to these fishing posts that I write did not pan out for most of us. Yet walleyes were caught and a lot of anglers were out on the water. Walleyes, they were good. With most bodies of water in the post-spawn time frame for walleye, it was expected they would have the feed bag on in the shallow, gorging on young perch and minnows. While some reports of success on smaller walleyes and tight, better catches came from somewhat deeper water, many in 12 to 15 feet, and most of those fish were full of mayfly larvae that the walleyes had rooted out of the mud. This is unusual for this time of year, but as the water's warm, expect these fish, as we started to find on Monday afternoon, moving up into the shallows and taking our minnow or leech on jig combos. This has been the Kurtz Island Fishing Report from Kurtz Island Sport Shop in Minocqua.
Get hooked on adventure at Kurtz Island Sports Shop. Reel in the big ones with their Primo fishing gear. From rods that lure envy to bait that fish can't resist. Need a fish whisperer? Kurtz Pros offer guide services to turn your fishing tales into legends. Swing by 824 Highway 51 North in Minocqua and gear up for epic fishing fun. Kurtz Island Sports Shop, where fishing dreams and big laughs are always in stock.
For a delicious meal anytime, whether you feel like breakfast, lunch, or dinner, stop into the Park Falls Sammy Restaurant on Highway 13 in Park Falls, Wisconsin, with a menu filled with too many delicious choices to mention, including Mexican dishes like chimichangas, burritos, quesadillas, fajitas, and tacos. Or stop in, sit at table 19, and try my favorite, the Triple BLT. Now serving raspberry and peach iced teas, plus iced poppies in caramel, mocha, and vanilla flavors. The Park Falls Sammy Restaurant has something on the menu to satisfy any appetite. Open 7 a.m. every day of the week, honoring veterans with a 10% discount.
It's your last chance to save on the perfect gift at Macy's Mother's Day sale. Use your coupon or Macy's card and take 25% off great gift ideas. Or shop specials like 30 to 65% off fine jewelry and 30 to 40% off pajamas from Charter Club and more. Plus, find beauty and fragrance gift sets from Lancôme, Coach, Carolina Herrera, and more. Give love today at Macy's Mother's Day sale. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
I'm Corey Hartman with your forecast for today. Mostly sunny, a high near 65. Northwest winds at 10 to 15. Showers and thunderstorms tonight with a low around 45. Showers and storms on your Sunday with highs in the mid-70s, and it will be a little bit breezy. For Monday, sunny and breezy and a high near 65. It's 39 at our studios.
This is Sporting Journal Radio. Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
Hi, this is Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in on the network or downloading the podcast or watching this on YouTube. We're going to talk to Tom Wynn right now here on the radio show. Tom, thanks for coming on. I know we've been talking about having you on for the last few weeks or a couple of months. I can't remember how long it's been, so I apologize for not getting you on sooner. But thanks for coming on and joining us. I, with the opener this weekend, we figured this is the perfect time to do it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's going to be fun to talk about that. I'm pretty excited about
getting to go out in home waters and fish a little bit.
Now, have you been doing some fishing this week, kind of gearing up for the opener? Have you spent time out in the boat?
Yeah, a little bit. So taking the boat down to Lake Traverse a little bit, just because it's border water. So I can spend some time down there targeting some walleyes when, you know, we typically can't be in Minnesota. So it's fun just to get my bearings and get down there and try to get things tuned in.
It's nice to have some of those border water opportunities. And I'm going to put you on the spot, maybe a little go off script a little bit. But, I mean, what do you guys think about opening up some more? I mean, you guys all happy with closing during the walleye spawn?
About you having an off limits for fishing?
Yeah.
I wish we could fish all year long.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah, I mean, I think Minnesota, Wisconsin might be one of those states, too, that have a closed season. But, you know, I guess for one reason it's okay with being closed is that it gives me time to do other things. Otherwise, you'd be on the water all the time, and I probably wouldn't have a business. I probably wouldn't have anything. But no, I don't know. I don't know. I think it'd be all right if it stayed open all the time, in my opinion.
Well, you hear about guys in North Dakota, and granted, the pressure in North Dakota is not like what it is in Minnesota. Even South Dakota doesn't get the pressure, but you hear them talk about it not having an impact biologically on the walleye population. And of course, you can go up and fish some of these border waters, and river systems are maybe a little bit different, but doesn't seem to affect it too much. So
no, and what it comes down to when it comes to that, fish population and stuff like that, it comes down to personal responsibility. It's not a season. It's not forward facing sonar. A lot of people are, you know, the people who are against forward facing sonar say, oh, it's going to destroy the fish population, when it's not the technology, it's the humans behind the, you know, using the technology. If you're irresponsible, then that's on you. You're not teaching your kids and grandkids to be responsible, then yeah. But, you know, yeah, I it's whether if the season's longer, open earlier, easier to catch the fish, doesn't mean we got to keep them all. It's just fun to go out, get enjoy the outdoors, I guess.
I've been saying that for a long time. You know, whatever happened to personal responsibility? You know, we talk about another facet to life. It's the same thing about being an ethical, you know, sportsman, whether you're hunting, whether you're angling. It still comes down to how you treat the resource. And, you know, people equate forward-facing sonar to trail cameras. Like, oh, that's cheating, you know? And it's like, well, you still, they're not killing anything, right? The cameras aren't killing anything.
No, and I'm learning, too, that the people who have forward-facing sonar or who complain about forward-facing sonar or that are just straight up against it have it. They bought it because they heard that it's a magic tool that you can just mount to your boat and catch fish. But when they find out there's a lot more to it than that, and then I think they get discouraged and get against it. So, like, when I have people that are against it and, you know, just I tell them, like, let me teach you how to use it. If you let me teach you how to use it, there is no way you're going to be against that, because it's fun.
So much fun. So much fun. If only there was a guy that would offer classes on using LiveScope.
Imagine that. Yeah. So it's going to happen. Like, I've been working a lot trying to get content, and it's content like nobody's seen yet. I spent my winter time doing seminars. I think I had 14 or so, at least, seminars through the winter. And these are organizations or people who call me up because forward-facing sonar is the thing right now, and they know that I'm giving out literally all my secrets, if you want to call them that. Like, I'm teaching people how to use it the way I use it. But I'm out on the water quite a bit this year. I'm not fishing the AIM circuit, just so I could spend more time getting content for an education platform that I'm putting together to show people exactly what I'm doing in the boat, whether it's just fishing on a day like today or, you know, pre-fishing for a tournament. Every aspect of fishing, whether you're a weekend angler, tournament angler, doesn't matter. I'm getting content, like live, high-definition content of my screen at all times in the boat, where typically LiveScope education on YouTube, even on YouTube or at seminars, they're screenshot. You get a screenshot of your LiveScope screen, and to me, that's a complete lie, because when you're looking at a LiveScope screen, it's not a still shot. It's moving, constantly moving. And up until this point, nobody's taken the time to, for example, I was out there earlier today on a system where it has, there's a moving water, there's a river connected to it, and I'm out there getting content where I'm going to be able to show people, okay, on LiveScope, this is what a walleye looks like, this is what a white bass looks like, here's what a drum looks like, sheep's head, catfish, northern pike. Show them that each return on your LiveScope actually means something. It's not, doesn't just mean it's a fish. You can actually read that return and tell what kind of fish it is before you cast at it. So, you know, it's going to be as advanced as that, but then also just as simple as going out and showing people how, where to start, how to catch fish, the presentation to use, just all of those little things like that. So I'm excited for it.
Well, we'll watch for that. So you think later this year?
It'll be shooting for the summertime. I think I'm going to have enough content by summer, and then making it look, get everything really, really good. And I think summer, late summer, we'll see something.
Cool. That's a great idea. I know people that search out your videos to learn stuff already. So you probably got a built-in audience ready to go for it. And when you were out on the water earlier this week, that was to teach somebody some LiveScope stuff, right? That's what you were doing?
Yeah. So I decided at the beginning of this year that I might go ahead. I've been asked for the last 3 years. People reach out to me on social media or whatever, and they say, you know, I'll pay you whatever. I'll go out. I just want to
$1 million.
Yeah, I take one trip, I'll be done. You can see me again. But no, I am going to do that. I'm going to free up here after the Red Wing NWT tournament here in a week or two. I'm going to be posting some dates on my social media where I'll be between probably the Otter Tail area and the Leech Lake area. I'm going to pick some lakes that are really good to learn LiveScope on. Some lakes are a little tougher, but I'm going to pick some lakes that are really nice to go look for walleyes, show people what walleyes are, and I will be doing some one-on-one LiveScope training. So I'll be posting those dates and on my social media, and it's basically going to be first come, first serve, and I'll try to squeeze in as many as I can this year, but it probably won't be that many, so, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how many people want to do it.
Well, before we get into talking about tips for the fishing opener and gearing up for that, if you had one tip to give somebody, if somebody goes out there, buys a brand new LiveScope, and they say, what's the first thing I should do with my LiveScope? What do you tell them?
Calibrate your compass. Because people install it, they're focused on the physical installation right away, and they get the correct physical orientation of that transducer, whether they're putting it on their trolling motor or their pole. But then there's one simple step that takes probably a minute and a half to do that people overlook with their LiveScope installation. It's because when they put that transducer on a pole or their trolling motor and they put it in the water, they're like, ooh, you know, this is what I saw on YouTube. You know, you see the beautiful, you know, underneath you see your live image already. You're like, oh, that's awesome. And then we don't do anything else. We start fishing. And then we start overworking our settings because we can't figure out, okay, how come their screen looks like this? Mine doesn't. It's because people aren't taking that 90 seconds or so to calibrate their compass. And what that does is it's a simple step. You put your transducer in the water, whether it's on the trolling motor or pole, and you go into your settings, you go to calibrate compass, it walks you through everything. You turn, you with your big motor, you spin your